Hey, thanks for listening to the Shift Your Spirits podcast. I'm your host, Slade Robertson. For over 10 years, I've been a professional intuitive counselor and the author of the blog Shift Your Spirits, where I try to write about spirituality with fewer hearts and flowers than most New Age blather. I also mentor emerging intuitives, psychics, and healers in a program called Automatic Intuition. One of my intentions for this show is to feature the unique voices of others who write and teach about these subjects. So in this episode, I'm honored to be speaking with intuitive healer Jenny Mannion. Jenny's an author, mind-body mentor, and energetic catalyst. She helps people tap into their own greatness and self-love to facilitate fast and lasting change, as she did when she healed herself of 7 years of chronic illness in 3 weeks.
Hi, Slade. So nice to be here. Thank you.
It's awesome to have you. I'm really honored to speak to you as one of the first of my interviews on the podcast. So just as a way of introducing you to those who don't already know who you are, why don't you just tell us a little bit about you and what you do?
I am a mom of two teenagers, and I am also an intuitive healer. I really like working with people on all levels, mind, body, and spirit, but mostly mind and spirit. So I will work with people to kind of change their way of thinking, because that was how I healed myself, just starting to change the way I talk to myself. And also spiritually, energetically, through meditation, getting them into healthier habits. So I love to work with people on that level. I'm an author, had my first book published last January. And yeah, just really enjoy seeing that aha moment go off in people, where they realize that life doesn't have to be that difficult and change doesn't have to be that difficult, and their life can be better. That's really my passion, to kind of bring that out in people.
That's awesome. And I definitely want to ask you to tell us a little bit about your book later on in the conversation, and just, you know, give us a pitch on that, because that's a good place probably for a lot of people to learn about you and your message and what you do. So I'm interested, when you call yourself an intuitive healer, a lot of people, I call myself an intuitive counselor. And so I'm curious to see, what does that mean exactly? Like, if someone works with you and they say book a session with you, spell that out for us a little bit. What does it mean when somebody is a client with Jenny?
I really look at each person individually, because we're so different and so similar at the same time. We will all have, most of my clients will have the lack of self-love going, you know, so that's something I work with them on. But in terms of intuitive healer, when I talk with them, I can kind of sense if they need more of that mind work, that mind-body work, or if maybe an Akashic record clearing would be the first thing to kind of catalyze change, or an energetic session, talking with me, or even off the phone sometimes, where they're just laying down and receiving. So really intuitively, I just pick up on what could benefit that person, you know, first, or what could facilitate that fast change. And then we go from there together.
Awesome. Awesome. Okay. So you're available for people to work with by phone. So even if people are on the other side of the world, they can still get in touch with you and experience what it is that you do.
Absolutely. About 70% of my clients are distance clients. I'm in upstate New York, but work with people in Australia, Europe, all over the place. And it is so beautiful. I mean, you know, the whole time-space thing is very relative, and the distance healings that I've done in Australia are just as powerful as someone being right in front of me. And actually, sometimes I work with a lot of late-stage, like, cancer clients, and I'll actually say that sometimes I prefer the distance healing at that point, because they've been dragged to so many doctor's offices and so many tests that it's actually nice for them to lay down somewhere they're comfortable with and just receive.
That's interesting. That's a good point. There's an intimacy about that too, and probably a lot of defenses are lowered when you're working with someone in that environment. I actually prefer to work with people where I only hear their voice. Even if someone is local, I will often ask them to call me because I find that you know how you can hear better, you can listen more intently to anything really, you know, when you close your eyes. So it actually helps me to focus as well if I'm not distracted by someone's physical appearance or maybe what they're wearing or anything that might be giving nonverbal cues, you know, things like that. I will say this, I'm very fascinated by the concept that our technology, meaning, you know, the internet, telecommunications technology, has in a way kind of allowed us to create another dimension. It's like human
That's
beings
true.
have like slipped in this weird, it's like, you know, in Harry Potter, there's the train station that's the 9.5 or 9 3/4 or whatever it is. It's kind of like the internet is like our version of some ethereal half plane, where we've created something that is not quite physical, not quite spiritual or ethereal. It's somewhere in the middle, but it does allow us to be together in, you know, across time and space. It's really fascinating. So
I do love that. I've never thought of it that way,
I
but that
know,
is
right?
exactly perfect.
I get very sci-fi with my spirituality and my new age perspective. It's always like I turn it into a sci-fi moment. But anyway, so one of the things that I'm really interested in is obviously I know a little bit about your story and about the chronic illness that you had. And I had met you pretty soon, you know, after you kind of experienced this transformation, right? So just to tell that story to everyone else that's listening, you know, everybody does have a story, obviously. And those who are on an intentionally spiritual path, especially, you know, if you're doing the kind of professional work that you do, has a turning point. You know, you have that milestone. It's usually not a pretty story, right?
I know, usually
It's
not.
usually not. But so walk us through that. Tell us, you know, walk us through where you were before the turning point. You know, when you were dealing with this chronic illness for a long time and you got to that point where you had to do something different. Take us there.
Yeah, it was pretty bleak. I was in chronic pain for about 7 years, going to tons of doctors. And as you know, the more doctors you go to, the more diagnoses you'll get. And I was definitely receiving a lot from chronic mono, fibromyalgia, a genetic blood disorder. When they told me that, they told me I was like more like, I think it was like 500 times more likely to get a blood clot. I promptly manifested one and was in the hospital for 5 days. And the last was factor V Leiden, benign hypermobility, which that one they said I would probably be in a wheelchair as soon as a year. And that was in my like mid to late 30s. So it was very scary, very debilitating. I had two little kids, and my morning I would wake up and be like, I wonder if I'm going to pass out today. I wonder if I'm going to vomit in pain today. I wonder if it's safe for me to drive my kids anywhere today. It was very, very sad, you know, when I look back at it. And the doctors definitely supported that in terms of just kind of never offering me the hope that I'd get better. It was all about joining support groups and really how managing my pain. So I was in a very dark place, did all the things the doctor said to do, except I wouldn't go on antidepressants because I was like, I'm not depressed. I am sad because I'm sick. There's a big difference. I want to know how I'm feeling. But I had felt like I had tried everything, and then things started to shift. There were a couple things. One was one of my friends had given me a Sark book, which was Sark is a really great poet, author, artist that really encourages you to use your creativity to for a positive. And I was always a writer, but I was writing about how horrible I was feeling and all these things. So she had me switch it to gratitude, things I was grateful for, people in my life I was grateful for, doodling again. I met a great friend that didn't know me as like Sick Jenny and would encourage me to go out on walks. And then when the movie The Secret came around, I watched that, and there were just a couple lines in there that really resonated with me and kind of led me to say, you know what, I'm not going to go to doctors for a little while. One was on gratitude that if we pay attention to what we're grateful for, that expands. And I know that being sick, I was not grateful. I was sad. I was down on myself. I was telling myself I wasn't a good enough mom or wife or friend or daughter. And the other that we're, what we put our attention on, I mean, our body's 99.99% new every 11 months. So where we're focusing our energy makes sense that it expands. So if I was putting my emotion into telling myself how sick I was not going to get any better. So I said, you know what, for a couple of weeks, I'm not going to go to the doctors. I'm going to dig into every self-help, you know, book like Deepak Chopra, Eckhart Tolle that I can find. I watch like Wayne Dyer for 2 hours on intention. And every morning and every night, I really just set that intention that I was going to watch where my thoughts were, because when I started to listen to myself, there was no way I could have made myself better, because I was telling myself how sick and limited I was all the time. And I was very angry with myself for being sick and not being enough. And when I started to switch that around and pay gratitude and focus on the part of my body that didn't hurt and do these little exercises like shifting attention and paying gratitude and watching myself talk up, the pain just went away. I mean, after 3 weeks, I was pain-free. And in about a year, it took me about a year courage to go back to the doctor to get permission to go off the blood thinner. They said I'd be on for life. But once I did that, I mean, I usually don't get sick. I did get my first flu this year, but that was definitely from overdoing it. It's been over a decade and I really don't get sick anymore. And when I do, I really go to my chakra system and energy body in terms of bringing myself back to balance. So I look at disease as dis-ease. Your body is getting out of balance to show you that something's wrong. It's not a punishment. And the more we're in tune with our bodies, the more we can bring ourselves back into balance, hopefully before we get anything too horrible that happens to us. So healing myself was definitely that turning moment, and it led me to writing, blogging about healing and finding out about different modalities, and it really just jump-started my passion for the mind-body connection and showing everyone that life can be a lot easier.
So that moment for you really was kind of like, it was a spread out thing. It was a slow motion sort of starting with the gratitude. I mean, 3 weeks is still pretty quick, but was there a moment that you remember kind of saying to yourself, like, I'm done, I can't? Was it the quote from The Secret that was sort of an epiphany moment for you where you thought, okay, this is the thing that I can do that's different?
Yeah, I definitely did feel like that after watching the movie. I mean, I was a psychology major in college, you know, graduated with a degree in it, but for some reason I didn't go there. I mean, you look to the doctors for your advice, you know, when you're sick. So I'd become very much dependent on them. And when they said, you know, I wouldn't get better, I really did believe that with my whole heart. And watching the movie The Secret, it just made sense. And they did talk about people that made themselves better. And I was like, hey, that's one thing I haven't tried yet. I haven't tried, you know, listening to myself. And it's really appalling. You know, I mean, anytime, you know, I ask my clients to start listening to themselves, I mean, we don't speak so nicely to ourselves. And unfortunately, when we do have a problem or a challenge, and specifically even like a health problem, usually that self-talk gets even worse, which is not healing, obviously. It's damaging. So I think there was an aha moment after seeing that movie, like, hey, you know, I didn't know I could heal myself, but I knew I could make myself feel a whole lot better than I had been feeling.
Mm. Yeah. This comes up a lot with me and the clients that I do. Sometimes I'll actually write down things that they're saying, like as they're saying them, and I'll read them back to them in the moment, live on the conversation, and without really calling attention to it, I'll say, what would you say if your girlfriend said to you, you know, ... and I'll read it back to them. I'm like, what would you say to her? And it's crazy how many people will give that person advice before they realize what's happening. You know, it's like, I'm going to trick you into giving yourself your own advice. But that is a real epiphany. And, you know, I can relate to that on some level as well. I think for me, it started as a kind of extension of the artist's way. which is a Julia Cameron book. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but you had mentioned something earlier about the Sark book and doing this kind of creative gratitude journaling kind of thing. I experienced something similar in becoming aware of the fact that I had been keeping journals and writing for decades. I mean, my entire life, but they were always whining.
Yeah, mine too.
I mean, you know, as teenagers are supposed to whine in their journal, right? But it had become such a habit, and it had become this channel that I tuned into so unconsciously and just allowed to play all the time. Not only did I allow it to play in my subconscious, I wrote it down every day. So I went through a whole thing where I made a rule that I was going to make a journal where I could only talk about things in terms of solutions. So if I wanted to say, if my inclination was, oh my God, I feel like crap, I'm depressed. Instead of writing that, I had to write, I'm feeling a little depressed right now. Therefore, I think I'm going to try introducing some exercise and see what kind of impact that has. You know, like I had to always prescribe something.
That's awesome.
And that was my version of kind of what you're talking about, was just to, it wasn't even so much gratitude. It was still very much focused on, this sucks. But it had
solutions, so that's good.
Yeah, but it was like, I'm going to brainstorm, okay, if this sucks, what do I tell myself to do? What do I try, you know? So to get back to the physical thing, because here's the thing that I'm sure there are people listening. You and I had done an interview recently where I was hosted on your website, and we'll talk about that series that you're doing in a little bit. But one of the first thing that happened when a friend of mine read that interview is she immediately wrote me and said, you know, I'm experiencing this kind of situation. What do I do? What advice? Where do I start? You know, and I sent her to you, and I was thinking, there's probably a lot of other people who are listening right now to what you're describing, and through some really powerful synchronicity, they are hearing you talk about themselves, you know what I mean? And what do you say to them? They're at home, they've been struggling, they're at the bottom of that slow decline at the moment. What kind of advice do you give someone? Where do you start to turn this around?
The first thing is kind of what we're talking about is the self-love, like knowing that, because it becomes very hard. One of the things you start saying when you're sick is, what did I do to deserve this? Or what did I do to bring this on in my life? You know, especially if you start thinking knowing your conscious creator, you start blaming. So we want to get rid of that. We want to make it like your best friend or someone that you love is sick and start talking to yourself like that. What can I do to help myself? You know, what can I do to bring myself in balance? What have I been doing that has maybe made me feel worse? Where has my attention been going? I am a big, big believer in the chakra system. And, you know, Eastern medicine is based on that. Western medicine, we've kind of left it out. But our energetic body is a very good indicator of where things are misaligned in our body, emotionally, physically. So I will have people go through maybe my chakra meditation or any chakra meditation where they're really starting to learn a little bit about each energy center and starting to come to peace with, okay, you know, this is me as I am now. This is physically presented itself. How can I bring myself back into balance? And it is almost like a puzzle, you know, but it's being very kind and gentle to yourself in the process, knowing that, I mean, I know a lot of the reasons why my body got sick, and I did not have the tools at the time to make myself better. You know, that is why my body did present with all these illnesses. So being extra kind and loving to yourself is number one, and then asking yourself, okay, how am I out of balance, and what tools can I have to perhaps bring myself into balance? But really suspending that blame on yourself, because that is not going to help. You know, just like if you had an animal or, you know, a small child and you're yelling at them and they were trying to feel better, you wouldn't do that. So it's the same thing, just being extra kind to yourself. Just as you were saying, people can give each someone else advice, but it's very hard to give themselves advice. In my book on the chapter on self-love, I have people imagine their worst challenge in their life and someone they love, and they close their eyes and they imagine that person that they love coming to them with their same problem. And suddenly they can give them three different, you know, ways it'll work out. They picture themselves hugging the other person, and it's a much more loving scenario. So the first thing is to really just give yourself that love. Tell yourself you want to, you know, work on this. You want to figure it out for your highest good. And really being just extra loving and kind along the way, because you are going to bring up stuff. I mean, as you know, healing can be a little messy. You know, you're bringing up past patterns, behaviors, thoughts. But it goes a lot faster if when you're bringing those things up, you know you're bringing them up to heal them. You're not bringing them up to shame-base yourself or to, you know, you bring them up to heal and to love. You know, if we love every aspect of ourselves and know, I mean, my body getting sick was the best thing that ever happened to me. I wouldn't have said it at the time, but maybe I wouldn't have found my path here, you know, and this is, I love helping people. And I love all these tools that I'm introduced to constantly. I mean, being extra kind and following your intuition, you know, put your hand on your heart and ask yourself, what is my next step? You know, maybe it's getting a book, maybe it's making an appointment with an alternative healing practitioner, you know, asking yourself from your heart, what is next? I healed for basically free. You know, I watched all these videos and got these books, you know, that helped me and inspired me and gave me the words that I needed to heal. So just trusting yourself, you know, love and trust is really the start of healing.
Mm. I'm interested in, what do you say to that person? Because you probably encounter this in some of the people that you work with, who maybe they have had a really serious diagnosis and they've been dealing with something like cancer. You mentioned that you work with people who are in later stages of cancer. So how do you manage expectations that someone may have around healing in that context?
Yeah, it's been a learning adventure for me on that, in that regard too, Slade, because in the beginning, when I think I had just learned reconnective healing, and I was working with people, and I definitely had a very big feeling that healing was the removal of disease, whereas that's not necessarily the case. Healing can be removal of symptoms. Healing can be coming to terms with your illness. Healing can be mending some relationships around you before maybe it's time to pass. Healing comes in all different ways, but just staying open. I don't like that Western doctors are so fast to hand out like death certificates to give these people 3 to 6 months to live, because I know in my practice that's not necessarily true. So, I mean, I would like people, first of all, to know that first, it isn't necessarily true that that is the limitation. You know, if you believe that, that will definitely be what happens. But I have seen cases. I had a client that had 1 week to live and she's cancer free. I've had clients that are 3 to 6 months, you know, to live and they're cancer free. Knowing that if you go on this healing journey, if you start looking within, you're going to heal stuff. Maybe it won't be the removal of cancer. One of the reasons I love working with clients distance that have more serious illnesses like cancer too, is loved ones can be around them and also receive energy. So I've had cases where I had a case where very young couple, late 20s, had just had a baby boy like 6 months ago, and the husband had late stage pancreatic cancer. And he was pretty much determined he was going. He really did not have one shred of hope in him. But his wife had a lot of hope. But during the healing session, what happened is she saw them in past lives together. And she got this assurance that they would be together again. So that was the healing. And he had a little reduction of some of the physical pain. But we don't know how healing is going to turn out. Healing is a very broad term. But just to never lose hope. I mean, there are what doctors, traditional, I guess, Western doctors would call miracles. But I bet almost every doctor you ask that does see cancer patients will say that they've seen a total remission. That, you know, they've seen cancer miraculously disappear. Those things do happen. So it really is important where you put your belief system, you know, what you believe. Do you believe that you can be around, that you can survive this? And, but also coming to peace with, if it's my time, then that's okay. You know, like knowing just that belief and faith. And I know it's really challenging. It's a very challenging thing to ask of someone. But it's interesting because, like, the client I had that had 1 week to live, she knew within every bone of her body she was going to be there. She was a single mom for her five-year-old son, and she was. So, you know, and I've had clients too that just, they're like, nope, I know it's not my time, but if it is, you know, I'll go okay. But, you know, clients that have refused hospice care because they know if you accept hospice care, you're basically saying I'm going. So really starting to listen to your intuition, being your own healthcare advocate. You know, doctors are doing the best they can, but they're also doing it from their limited framework of what they've seen. So knowing that there's a bigger picture, if you have to go and get an Eastern doctor, you know, someone that studied Eastern medicine too, that might be another good option, or someone in alternative medicine, just so you're hearing not just one scenario. You know, I think that would be, you know, advice too, is not just to go to, you know, your typical Western doctor and take whatever they say. Go to another, you go get another opinion, you know, whether it is, you know, an intuitive healer or a Eastern medical doctor. I know that once I did heal myself and I did go back to the doctor, it was funny because my doctor had switched out and an Indian doctor had taken her place. And her first thing she said to me was, I don't prescribe pain pills easy. Do you meditate? And I was like, that's beautiful. Thank you. You know, so
it's almost like you manifested a new kind of doctor.
I did. I did. So just knowing that if you are looking for someone else, look outside the Western, you know, the Western framework too, because, and there are doctors that do have both training, you know, Deepak Chopra, you know, this doctor obviously had some Eastern training too. My new doctor that took over, just know that one person's opinion shouldn't really determine your life, you know, and that we do all know inside what is, what's possible for us.
Awesome. That's great. That's great advice. You talked a little bit about, you mentioned a chapter in your book where there's an exercise where someone communicates with a loved one as if it's, you know, speaking to themselves. Tell us a little bit about your book. It's called A Short Path to Change.
Yep. A Short Path to Change, 30 Ways to Transform Your Life. And it's broken into four parts. The first part is four sections. Each section has about seven chapters and each one has a really easy exercise at the end. I'm a big believer in fast and easy exercises because we're all too busy anyway, and two, because we will self-sabotage and say, oh, that takes too long. So I really believe in fast tools. The first part's all about getting rid of the old stuff, clearing out the old limiting thoughts. And that's going to be a lot of the stuff that I talked about, changing, listening to your self-talk, actually self-forgiveness and forgiveness is in there. Things that really kind of jumpstart that change and get you looking at your life and what might need to shift. Second part's all about the chakra system, an overview of the chakras plus a chapter devoted to each. What it will look like physically and emotionally if one is off, and ways to balance them. The third section is all about the present moment, and that will have that self-love exercise in it, gratitude, energy exercises, meditation. And then the fourth chapter is just, it's kind of a combination. It's things we're going to come across that might not be so pleasant, like shadows and self-sabotage, but then also tools to keep moving forward, like intention setting.
So how does it feel to be an author now?
It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. It was a lot scarier than I thought, you know, and I think it wasn't until after I wrote the book that I heard a Hay House author say that writing a book is about 20% of the work, which was good because if I heard that before, I might have not have ever finished it. But as you know, I mean, there's definitely that satisfaction. It's like birthing. I mean, I say that's one of like the top three most difficult things I've done in my life. It is a birthing process, and you have someone that's telling you, okay, you need to change this, or this is better. Yeah, it's been a growing process, that's for sure, and I'm still in it, I think.
Yeah, well, and I was going to ask you if you are working on another one.
I am not. I have currently three different outlines going, and I've kind of made it my goal that when my son leaves for college in the fall, that'll be kind of when I refocus and either do one of those three outlines or pick something totally new. We'll see.
Well, they say that there are certain kinds of authors who have one book and it kind of represents or encapsulates what they do. And once that's out in the world, it becomes a tool to allow people access, a doorway into what you do, so to speak. And then there's another kind of author who, even after all that work and even after that birthing process, somewhere deep down, you have this little faint spark of like, I want to do that again. Do you have
Yeah,
that? Do you have that?
I know you have that too. You've got more than one.
Yes, I do. I definitely have that. I actually love launching books. I wish someone else would write them for me and I could just launch them because there's nothing quite like that that feeling and that first kind of month that the book is out, right? Like
Yeah, that is
that's
exciting.
yeah, it's few and far. It's like that moment is so small, and in terms of the overall process. But yeah, so we'll keep an eye out for what you're working on next. But
Thanks.
so recently, at the start of this year, we're recording this in February 2017, and at the beginning of the year, you started a series on your blog called Aligned and Inspired Mondays. Do you want to tell everybody a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, Slade, this year started off a little heavy here in the US and world. And one of the tools I'm giving my clients is definitely to limit the news, but also to make sure there are so many wonderful people in this world, such as yourself and others doing so many good things, that I wanted to be able to bring, my readers and my clients like a place to go every Monday to find out about someone doing something really good in this world. To be inspired by. So every Monday I present someone that's, personal to me in my life that's really made a difference. And being in this profession, one of the very big perks is that I get to meet people like you. I get to meet people that are aligned and inspired and using their gifts to help others. And that helps keep me aligned and inspired too. So I just wanted to be able to give my readers that opportunity to meet some of the wonderful people that I've met over the years.
Very cool. I think there was a huge synchronicity with my podcast in wanting to do the same thing, which is it's not all about me. Like I know so many people who do all this cool stuff. You guys need to listen to them, So I wanted to have you on for that same reason as well. You do something that's remotely outside of my experience, yet it's really fascinating. It's like people, there's this chick named Jenny and she did this thing, like go check it out. So that really is the motivation for me too, and having these kind of conversations with others. I think we're nodes in a network, and sometimes there are even clients who belong with you, and but they find you through me, and I'm cool with that. Not
Me
every everything
too.
doesn't have to stop with me. I'm fine with being one of the people that you stopped and asked for directions. So I hope that one of the things that will happen as a result of you being on giving us this interview is that some of those people will find their way to you through me. So that's my intention. So why don't you just tell us what's next for you? What you got anything big going on right now? What's on the horizon?
Yeah, I do. Well, thank you, Slade, so much for that too. And that's my hope too, to just really help promote other people that are doing these amazing things. And your meditation I've shared, I've listened to probably hundreds of times, and I do recommend it to my clients as well. It's something that really did help me connect deeper to my guides and my guidance. So I'm forever grateful for you for that.
Thank you.
And for me, next is I just moved my office this past weekend, which is pretty major. I've been in my same local office for like 6 years to a new healing center that's opening called Scarzafava Soul. And the soul is short for sweetness of life. And it is a bunch of different healing practitioners. We have an acupuncturist, a hypnotherapist, a Ayurvedic, someone that practices Ayurvedic medicine, and myself, and also a grief counselor. I share my office with a grief counselor. And we have classes. There are places for two different kinds of workshops. They're smaller and larger. There's a steam room, sauna. There's a yoga facility downstairs. So it's really going to be very different for me to be in an office with people, but it's also so wonderful because it's such an inspirational place. And the leader of the place, the owner, is going to be teaching nutrition classes and has been on this path for probably about 40 years doing sweat lodges and every different healing modality. And it's just something very heart-based. It's been very beautiful to be a part of this beginning. Because this woman is someone that doesn't want to rush things. A lot of times, you know, entrepreneurs are like, all right, we're open. But she's very much like, let's get in. Let's work out the kinks. She doesn't want the rental agreement to be a rental, to be a lease. It's like a mutual agreement, you know, and if we have any problems, we'll sit down and talk and discuss it. So it's a very just love, heart-centered healing community, which is kind of what you want, you know, building it from the ground up. So I'm very excited to be a part of that. And yeah, I have my son leaving for college, so that's pretty exciting this year, and looking for a house with my sweetheart. And yeah, so there's a lot of good stuff going on. Hoping to do more workshops, hoping to get my next book started in the fall, but really looking to just help as many people as possible, you know, whether that be through my book or clients. I do like working with families too. It's very interesting to see different family dynamics and helping couples. I've helped some couples resolve issues and mend energy that wasn't good between them. So yeah, just continue to do my work and learning. I always love to keep learning.
Awesome. So tell people where they can go to find you online.
They can go to jennymannion.com, JennyMannion.com. I offer first chapter of my book for free, guided meditation, my free chakra ebook, as well as a short consult with me. And they can email me at jenny@jennymannion.com. And yeah, just, or they can give me a call, 607-437-7867. And yeah, I love talking to people and definitely encourage them reaching out even just for the free consult. If I can help people, even by giving them a couple of tools, it really is kind of my mission to just help people recognize how wonderful and unique we all are and to be that catalyst so that they can maybe recognize that they haven't been so nice to themselves and start them being nice to themselves so they can discover their own gifts and shine.
Wonderful. Awesome, Jenny. This has been really great. I'm going to put all those details into the show notes so that people can find them if they're listening in their car or something like that and they want to check out those details and get your number and your email address and all that. We'll make it available. This has been great. Thank you for taking the time to speak with me today.
It's so nice to speak with you, Slade. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Shift Your Spirits. For show notes, links, and past episodes, please visit shiftyourspirits.com. You can subscribe to this podcast in iTunes or Stitcher or whatever app you use to access podcasts. If you're new to podcasts, it's that purple button on your iPhone. Click it, search Shift Your Spirits, and hit subscribe. Also, if you want to support the show, it would really help me out if you'd leave a rating and a review in iTunes and share it with some friends you think would be into it. If you'd like to get an intuitive reading with me or download a free ebook and guided meditation, please go to sladeroberson.com. And if you're interested in my professional intuitive training program, check out automaticintuition.com. And I'll talk to you later.